You are listening to the evening news for Monday, January 28th, hosted by The Independent, New York's progressive newspaper. I'm Peter Rue with Lydia McMullen Laird. On tonight's program, Trump fights for a border wall while employing undocumented immigrants, discounted Metro cards for poor New Yorkers, and healthcare expert Tim Faust on NYC care and single payer.
Beginning with international news. Britain is scheduled to leave the EU on March 29th, with or without a Brexit deal. But so far, no clear path has emerged. Lawmakers vote Tuesday on competing Brexit plans. Meanwhile, major retailers are warning the UK could face food shortages if it leaves the bloc without an agreement. And in Madrid, taxi drivers continued a week-long strike on Monday, calling on the government to impose stricter regulations on app-based ride-for-hire services like Uber. In the United States, tensions with Venezuela escalated over the weekend after the Trump administration announced it was recognizing opposition leader Juan Guaido as Venezuela's interim president. The Venezuelan government accused the United States of helping to orchestrate a coup. And members of the global environmental movement, Extinction Rebellion, conducted multiple civil disobedience protests over the weekend. 40 activists temporarily occupied Scottish Parliament on Friday. And at the Rockefeller Center in Manhattan on Saturday, activists dropped a banner reading, "Climate change equals mass murder."
New Trump administration rollbacks to environmental protections will result in nearly $12 billion in future savings for fossil fuel companies. 1,400 additional premature deaths per year are expected, according to the administration's own estimates. President Trump agreed to a short-term spending package without the $5 billion he is demanding for a border wall, ending a five-week government shutdown on Friday. An air traffic slowdown at the former home of Trump Airlines, LaGuardia Airport, precipitated Trump's cave-in. The president told the Wall Street Journal on Sunday the odds are less than 50-50 lawmakers will craft a deal he is willing to accept to avoid another shutdown on February 15th. A dozen undocumented workers at Trump National Golf Club in Westchester County were fired this month, even though managers knew about their legal status for years, a lawyer for the workers said Saturday. Many had worked at the club for over a decade.
In local news, city employees filed nearly 500 sexual harassment complaints last year, according to new data from City Hall. Investigators substantiated less than 40 grievances. Only 8 resulted in termination. Violations for driving in bus lanes have risen more than 600%, according to the NYPD, since it stepped up patrols of designated bus lanes earlier this year. The heightened enforcement is part of Mayor Bill de Blasio's plan to increase bus speeds by 25% over the next 2 years. The average city bus travels less than 8 miles per hour. Meanwhile, the board governing the MTA postponed a vote last week on a proposed fare increase following criticism from Governor Andrew Cuomo. Which brings us to tonight's first guest. Jeff Jones joins us in the studio tonight. He is the spokesperson for the Community Service Society of New York's Fair Fares campaign. Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Jeff, the MTA price increase is on hold for now, but on the other end of the spectrum, things have not gone as planned either. The Fair Fares campaign, which offers half-price Metro cards, was rolled out earlier this month, but only about 30,000 New Yorkers are eligible right now, those that receive cash benefits. That's significantly less than the nearly 800,000 who were initially eligible. What happened?
Well, I mean, we're really happy that the Fair Fares program was, you know, launched to begin with. It's definitely not met what we were planning, what we were hoping for. Like you said, 800,000 New Yorkers who live under poverty would be eligible for the half-price Metro cards under the plan. Excellent. Thank you. We had hoped that on January 1st, when this plan was theoretically supposed to have come out, that would have been the case. The mayor has decided on this longer rollout with the 30,000 first and then 130,000 SNAP recipients, folks on food stamps who are employed come April. And then as of right now, there's no said plan on what's happening next, and that makes us pretty nervous.
But even with the 130,000 in April, that's still many less than initially were planned. Why do you think Bill de Blasio, who kind of ran on this campaign in 2013 on A Tale of Two Cities, why do you think he's against this at all? Or why is there any pushback on something that was initially supported?
I mean, that's an excellent question. I mean, this is such a clear progressive win. This is, if you want to talk about making this the fairest city, like, what's more, you know, fairer than being able to get on the transportation to get around to do everything you need to do. So why, you know, there's, we understand that putting up a program of size like this can, you know, have some bumps and take some effort, and it's good to do it right. But, you know, when the deal was signed, was done in January, saying that we're going to fund this program, we had understood that it was going to be for the, you know, the full eligible population. And that's not been the case. So, you know, we've been out there saying that we want to see more. We want more to happen. We want to know that this program will actually reach the people that need it.
So speaking about those people who need it, the people who live below the poverty line, can you talk a little bit about the work your organization does and what you know about how that impacts those people's lives? How does not having access to transportation or not being able to afford it impact the life of a New Yorker?
Sure. Well, the Community Service Society has been around for 175 years, working to fight income inequality in New York City on all sorts of areas, from housing to healthcare, legal services, all sorts of programs that we've done over the years. One of the things that we do every year, one of the things our policy, our team does every year, is they do a survey, the Unheard Third survey, where they poll New Yorkers about what's going on. And we do definitely a sampling of New Yorkers who are low income. And our research showed that 1 in 4 New Yorkers said that they could not afford transportation on a regular basis. They could not afford a MetroCard on a regular basis. Then we interviewed folks and we talked to people who, you know, were choosing literally like a meal or a MetroCard. They were choosing to not take a job because of a MetroCard. They were not going to an interview because of not being able to afford a MetroCard. I mean, over and over and over again, the affordability of transit was a real issue and was one of the big hardships of being in New York City.
So I want to pivot for just a second to another piece of work that you have done, which is the unequal consequence of fare evasion, especially now that we're seeing that, you know, these half-price MetroCards are not necessarily being distributed to everyone that needs them. So according to data analysis by the Community Service Society, a Black person is 30 times more likely to be arrested for fare evasion in Brooklyn than a white person is in Manhattan, and a Black person is 4 times more likely than a white person to be arrested anywhere in the city for fare evasion. Can you talk about those results for a moment and how that plays into this discussion of fair fares?
Right. So, you know, the consequence for jumping a turnstile, for, you know, not paying the fare is pretty significant. Like, if you you can be fined $100, you can be arrested, especially if this is something that's happened more than once. And we researched, we found data via public defenders. There was no publicly available data at the time that showed this kind of discrepancy everywhere we looked, that it wasn't just that people were poor, it wasn't just that there was a lot of crime. We found that people were being arrested in neighborhoods that were primarily poor Black neighborhoods. Access is really important to transportation. There's two issues here. There's the affordability and the policing. One nice thing about something like fair fares is it addresses that affordability problem, which means less people will need to jump the turnstile, which means that less people will be arrested and fined. Does it solve the overall issue of how the NYPD is policing our subways and buses? It does not. But it is at least something that will have a real effect on those numbers and those consequences. Also said, like, the numbers have gone down a lot recently. The NYPD has published some little bit of numbers, and it's gone down 70%, but it's still the same kind of racial divide. So there's still a problem. It's great that there's less of it, but it's still a real problem.
So I want to ask you about NYPD data on fare evasion arrests. This is data that they're legally mandated to release, but they've been dragging their feet. What are they hiding? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I mean, the law was passed saying that they had to provide detailed demographic data. They didn't do it. They stalled for more than a month after they were mandated to do so. They finally released this kind of subset of data that both did not give all the information that was required to do, but also it was inaccurate. There was times where station names were combined, so you couldn't tell which station was 125th Street here or 125th Street there. Lots of problems with this data. did not give us, you know, did not give us what we were, what the law required. Did show some interesting things. It showed that even summonses and arrests still have this racial disparity, but is not what is required.
What do you think a more accurate data set would tell us if they actually released accurate data?
I mean, it's hard, you know, we can never really say what it would tell us, but from the data that we got in Brooklyn, you know, it wouldn't be surprising to see similar patterns other places. But we need the data to see. That's why, I mean, we're still pressing for this. This is data that we need to see to in order to shine light on this practice of how they police in the subways and buses.
By the way, for listeners who want to find out more about this, they can check out Peter Rue's article in the November issue of The Indy. I wanted to ask you one last question, which is if someone is looking to get one of these half-price Metro card tickets that we discussed earlier in the program, how does that practically work? It's very hard to understand how you actually get these and what the logistics are behind this program.
Yep, it really is. As of right now, the way that the mayor laid out at his announcement, the first 30,000 people should be getting letters in the mail that say that they are eligible and they can go to an office to apply. These are the 30,000 people that they have on their rolls receiving cash assistance. Come April, 130,000 employed New York residents who receive SNAP will also be contacted in some way and will be shown how to get those cards. And then after that, we don't know. We want to see. We are really anxious to see that this program reaches all those folks, is funded properly. The mayor's preliminary budget should be coming out, I think, next week. And we want to see funding for this program in that budget. We want to know that the commitment that he made in June and reiterated in January to bring half-price Metro cards for low-income New Yorkers, for folks under poverty, is a reality for all, you know, 800,000 folks.
Jeff Jones, the Community Service Society of New York's Fair France campaign spokesperson, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back in a moment with the next segment on healthcare.